Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this Thanksgiving meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks and water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. So far, some text. In Christ Jesus, who is the greatest gift of all the many gifts that our Heavenly Father has showered upon us, dear fellow redeemed. A question. What does the poem, Mary Had a Little Lamb, have to do with Thanksgiving? Anybody? Well, the person who wrote that poem, Sarah Hale, was also instrumental in getting President Abraham Lincoln to declare Thanksgiving to be a national holiday and to be celebrated on the fourth Thursday of Thanksgiving. Sarah Hale had tried many times, written letters to many presidents, to get him to do that, to no avail. And then she wrote to President Lincoln, and it worked. 6 days after President Lincoln received her letter, on October 3rd, 1863, he declared that Thanksgiving would be a national holiday. Before that, it was celebrated in the Northeast, not too many states in the South, not too many in the Midwest, but he declared now it would be a national holiday on the fourth Thursday of November. And Mrs. Hale had ideas why Thursday was a good day. That declaration is found in your bulletin in the insert. I would encourage you sometime tonight or tomorrow during your Thanksgiving celebration to read his declaration there. It was written during the Civil War. In that declaration, President Lincoln urges and encourages all Americans to thank God for his goodness, even in the midst of that terrible, divisive war. Remember to give thanks. Well, in our text this evening, we have a similar reminder. In the words of Moses, just before he dies, he encourages the children of Israel to remember the Lord their God. Three times he says, remember the Lord when he's done. And then another time he says, don't forget. And that reminder we would lay upon our hearts this evening, so that tomorrow and every day we remember to praise and thank the Lord our God. And that's our theme for this Thanksgiving 2015. Christian, continue to praise the Lord your God. Three reasons are given in our text why we should continue to praise the Lord your God. First of all, continue to praise the Lord your God for the trials by which he strengthens you. Secondly, continue to praise the Lord your God for the blessings by which he provides for you. And thirdly, continue to praise the Lord your God with loving obedience for all that he has done for you. As you said, this was Moses' last words to the children of Israel before he died. In these words, reminds them of what happened the past 40 years. Over 40 years, they wandered to the wilderness, and during that time, everybody 20 years and older died, except for Joshua and Caleb, and then Moses would soon die. And the Lord humbled his rebellious, disobedient children because they tested his love, they tested his patience, they tested his commitment, and so he tested them. He tested them to teach them the importance of listening to his word. We read again verse 2 of our text. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way through these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Reading those words, the question comes up, why? Why did God need to test his people? I mean, doesn't he know everything? Didn't he know whether they believed or not? Was that test to find out whether they did believe or not? Was that test to find out whether how much they believed? Or if God already knew they were going to fail the test, then was it God's fault that they failed the test? No, on all three parts. You see, when God tests his children, it's not for his sake. It's for our sake. He lays tests upon us that we realize how weak and frail and helpless we are, how dependent we are upon him. And he lays tests and trials upon us so we realize that that faith that the Holy Spirit has created in our hearts through the power of the word is far deeper and far stronger than we could ever realize. The test that the Lord lays upon us exercises our faith. So our faith is not just in words, but that's so our faith is put into action, into deeds. And so Moses said, the Lord God led you these 40 years to humble you and to test you. What a wonderful purpose. We read in verse 3, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. The Lord brought them face to face with their weaknesses, and then he provided, not because they deserved it, but he provided for all of their needs. He wanted them to know over and over again that he was not going to be there just to provide for their physical needs, but he would provide for their spiritual needs as well. To teach them that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The most important lesson that they should have learned was the importance of listening to, believing in, and following his word. Manna was great. Is that miraculous bread that showed up every morning outside their tents, except for Sabbath day, for 40 years. It fed them. It nourished them, kept them healthy. And yet the word of God, the manna of the word of God, is far, far greater than that miraculous manna that they had for 40 years. Without God's word, physical blessings like food and clothes and shelter, it's worthless. Food alone won't give us life. For life has far deeper dimensions that only God can satisfy. One man wrote, our life has no meaning in itself. It has meaning only in relation to God. Existence in time and in eternity doesn't depend upon our physical possessions or our goods or our food. It depends on our faithfulness and our reliance and trust in our Savior God. Remember, Jesus quoted these same words, didn't he? When he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he'd fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was very hungry. And Satan said, if you are the Son of God, then just use your godly powers to change these stones into bread. Don't go hungry. Just do that. Jesus could have easily. And yet he couldn't because his Father sent him to do one thing. His Father's will was for him to serve mankind and to give his life as a ransom for the world, not to use his godly powers to serve himself. So, dear brothers in Christ, as we are approaching another Thanksgiving celebration and the end of an old year and the beginning of a new year, may we not complain and murmur about the trials and the tests that come upon us in our life. For the Lord allows them to come upon us in order to lead us to his word. Despair of ourselves and look to his word, where is our real strength. For in them and through those tests, he helps us put our priorities straight. It's not food and clothing, possessions. It's not even friends and good health and family. That's the most important things in our life. It's God's word that gives us life. Secondly, Christians, we should continue to praise God, of course, for the many blessings that God has showered upon us. When you listen to those verses 7 through 9, did you think of America? He said there they would have land with fountains and springs and valleys and hills and wheat and barley and pomegranates and vines and fig trees and iron and copper, and there'd be no scarcity, no lack. That sounds like our country. But therein is a danger. We have so much. And are blessed with so many things that so often we take them for granted. And sometimes we forget to thank the Lord. So, fellow Christians, continue to remember the Lord your God by thanking him for the blessings he's provided for us. But how? How are we to give thanks? How are we to live a life of thanksgiving? Is it to come once a year to church on a Thanksgiving evening because the president declared it to be a national holiday? How hypocritical. Is it by showing up once in a while in God's house and tipping our hat to God and saying, well, I should probably thank him once in a while and put a few dollars on a plate? How typical. Or is it to show our thanksgiving by sharing with others and showing off our sharing because we're such loving people? How worldly. Moses shows us how we're to give thanks. In verse 1, we read, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Thanksgiving's true form is a willing, loving heart of obedient love. Not just words from the mouth. Thanksgiving's true form is actions from the heart in love to God and our fellow man. It was God the Father who not only created us, but continued to still love us, even after Adam and Eve disobeyed him, fell into sin, and deserved death and damnation, so that he sent his Son into this world and made that wonderful covenant with mankind. It was God the Son who left his throne on high, came down to this earth, became one of us, and lived the perfect life we couldn't live. And then suffered and died upon the cross and endured damnation for you and for me, and then rose from the dead, and then ascended to heaven and ruled over all things and said, now you're set free from sin, death, Satan, and hell. And it's the Holy Spirit who takes that message and put into our dead hearts and created faith to believe it, and continually, day after day after day, through the word, strengthens us so we can stand before trials and temptations in this world. And the same triune God clothes you, feeds you, helps us with our trials, shelters us, sees us through all the miseries of life, even our deaths. And now once again, the Lord, through Moses, is reminding us, continue to remember to praise your Lord by walking in his ways, by being obedient to his commands. Our great God's love for us is a motivation for us to love our God some of the motivation for us to faithfully live according to his will, to selfless service to others, to seek to give rather than to get, to seek to share rather than to take. And what blessed opportunities the Lord has laid before us in our lives for doing that. First with our family, then with our brothers and sisters in Christ, then with our neighbors, fellow workers, classmates, those we meet, and eventually with everybody in the whole world when we come into contact with them. It's very appropriate that we have Thanksgiving at the end of the church year, because then follows Advent and the preparation of God's great gift to us. After we say, thank you, God, for all your gifts, then God says, here's my greatest gift. So this Advent season, we can begin by giving again to our children and to our spouse the great gift of God's word by having devotions. If you haven't done them, start them. If you've been doing them, continue. We have an Advent devotion booklet in the back of the church there. It's in the back chairs, and we'll have more on Sunday for you to pick up. It's from the online CLC devotions put into a booklet by David Pfeiffer. We encourage you to read those devotions throughout Advent, because Advent's a busy, busy time. You need to keep your mind focused upon God's great gift. But during Advent, you can do other things. During Advent, you can find out someone who's lonely, all alone, and go visit them. Maybe someone who is ill or grieving for some reason, and go counsel them and console them with God's word. Or find out who's someone who's less fortunate than you are and help them with your gifts. Or during Advent, find out those who are unbelievers or someone who's unchurched and tell them about their sins and about their Savior. Tell them, come to church and see what I see and hear what I hear and learn what I learn about Jesus, the Savior of you and me and all of mankind. The opportunities to show our thanksgiving for all that God has done for us with people around the world, especially those closest to us, those opportunities are endless. And so we conclude again with Moses' words to us from the Lord. Praise the Lord your God. Acknowledge our dependence upon him spiritually. For he lays tests upon us in order for us to turn to his word and be strengthened. We would praise the Lord and acknowledge our dependence upon him physically, because he gives us bountiful blessings and provides for us daily and richly. And in our thanksgiving and our praise, may not be just from our lips and our mouths, but may they show from our hearts and our actions in serving our Lord, serving each other, friends, neighbors, relatives, and ultimately sharing the word with the people of this world. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.